whom I had never met or spoken to, who was in charge of the total purchasing for the whole setup there in, out in Long Island. I said, what is he like? He says, he's a wasp from the old school. I said, okay. We come into the place and they have a big waiting room and the stairs leading to a second floor balcony. And you can't go in without somebody because you could put $100 in your pocket just walking by. And the door would open and say, Mr. Jones, Mr. Smith, the guy you wanted to see. And this nut is showing me plastic parts that Nick plated, and half of them were my parts. I said, for Christ's sakes, shut it and put it down. Just then the door opens up and somebody says, Mr. Rubin. I look up and there's George S. Johnson, as black as the ace of spades. And this nut comes up and says, you can't, hollers across the whole room, says, you can't be George Johnson. And George is he's just inflappable. Says, why not? He says, you're supposed to be a wasp, and you're as black as the ace of spades. And he gets up, you know, to a, or whatever, and all the parts fall down. And he gets on his hands and knees, tries to explain, like you're laughing. Everybody went into hysterics except George and me. And when you have 40, 50 people laughing, everybody heard it on the next floor, and you had a whole crock up there. We walk in the office. George doesn't say a word. I don't say a word. He shows me the part. I immediately see the problem. And I said, if you give me half a dozen samples, I'll come back in a week or so with a part that I'll guarantee will work at no charge to you. He says, fine. And I did do that. And in the interim, a very close friend of mine was owned the Holiday Inn, and he sold us a very small portion. And he was going into another venture, which I was not a member of, but I didn't want to be, but the other people were. And he had a board of directors meeting in his house in Sarasota, Florida. Now, I knew this guy very, very well. We were intimate friends. I knew him his whole life. I was one of the 10 couples at his wedding. And after 25 years, he tells his wife, I've outgrown you. He divorces her and he marries this woman. And I come down to visit him in Sarasota with the proxy of the other people. And he always asked me what's new. And I told him the story about Clinique. And the girl just quizzed me up and down and left and right. She was the daughter, the Lauders, who owned it, were originally Landowski. And the three of them, the married couple and her father, were going to start this business in a garage, and they each had to put in a few dollars each. But her father made the decision it was too risky. So now he's a major domo there, and he did very well, but you know the difference between owning $1 billion of a business, a third of it, and so on. So when she said, when you get back, just talk to my father because he's never met Leo, her husband. And I did. And I bring the part in to George. He likes the part. He says, okay, let's go ahead. And I said, I need a one-third mold deposit. He said, we don't do it. I said, if we don't do it, we don't do it. But I can't do it without it. But I'll give you a letter that if you're not pleased with it, even because you had a fight with your girlfriend, I'll give you your money back. He says, okay. And just then, Dave, I don't remember his last name, walks by, and I told him I wanted to talk to him, and he calls him in, and he's the number three man there now, and he questions me for a half an hour in front of George about Leo, what he did, what he's born, the whole cha-cha. And then he says, next time you're here, son, he said, be sure you come and see me. That led to a very close relationship with George. I had to rewrite the letter because I had to leave out the word girlfriend. But he would call me a skinflint Jew, and he had to zip up his pockets. And I'd call him a black-faced nigger from the South who didn't know how to respect people of knowledge. And we would banter back and forth. And we were really good friends. But people around were always scandalized. And we had a very long, fruitful relationship until other people learned how to do it. And because it was a monopoly with me, my prices were fairly high. And I really didn't need the business, though it was a big part of my business. But I learned never to have any company more than 20% of my business. So if not, they're your boss, you're not their boss. And we parted very nicely.
Well, Mr. Rubin, this has been a fascinating session. You have many more stories I know to tell to give a complete record. But this overall view will certainly give all interested persons a sampling of your extraordinary career and your success as a business person. It's particularly striking that a person who had to start at minimum wage in a company where you didn't know what the product was or anything about the industry, you came to own the company and to become a member of the Hall of Fame in the industry. That's a genuinely impressive accomplishment for your career, and I hope that your projects that you have underway now will continue to fruition. Thank you very much. On behalf of Chemical Heritage Foundation, I want to thank you.
You're welcome indeed.